Q-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
As we move into the 4 o'clock hour, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today. All right, phone call 617-779-7937 is the number. We will continue with your phone calls here in just a minute. We'll get back to the Red Sox as well as we grade their building blocks. How much pressure is going to be on these rookies getting called up? I feel like a lot. A lot is going to be resting on the very young shoulders of those three guys when they get called up, if they get called up next year. And if they don't, even more pressure to get called up. So we'll get to that as well. But we'll continue now with your Patriots thoughts. Let's go to Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Hello.
Hey,
how
Paul.
Are you guys?
How Hello.
You how you doing?
What's up?
Everything good?
Everything's
good?
Great. Paul, how are things with you?
Fantastic. You know, kicking back, babysitting my kids, my grandkids earlier, now just kicking back and with my home and where my wife and my kids sleep, you know.
That's great.
Nothing like at home, top shelf.
What's on your mind?
Listen,
Paul?
My mind is this. I'm going to go after Andy Hart first.
Go what? For it.
It's this. There's this kid King, right? They used to be in the Yankees. Now he's in San Diego. Andy, would you trade
who?
King
Michael
for
King?
Christian Cassis? Would you trade him up? Straight up.
I don't
for
know.
For Christian Cassis. What did you say?
For Christian Cassis, I think you said. Michael King he's talking about. Michael King, a righty on the Padres, was originally part of the Yankees organization. He was there for 4 or 5 years. He was
yes.
an international signing bonus guy, I think, somehow, even though he's from Rochester. And he's now on the Padres. Big trade. I think it was the Juan Soto trade that sent him over there. He was a big part of that Juan Soto trade.
Yeah. A 30-start guy with a sub-3 ERA? Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
why would I not? Is this a trick question?
No. That was his question. That's what he wanted to know.
He had 200 strikeouts in 173 innings. Is this a trick?
No, I don't think it's a trick.
Okay, yeah.
I think it was a sincere question.
I don't think they would trade
Tristan,
for Casas.
Tristan Casas is considered a very hot, asset over here. Right, isn't he? I think he's a hot asset.
He is one hot ass.
One hot piece of asset is what I'd consider him. Especially when he's out there doing that nude yoga before the game.
Would they do it? Because I just feel like pitching trumps everything in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The value of pitching is...
I don't think they would. I don't think the Padres
I don't
would
think
do
they
that.
Would either.
No.
Yes, I would do that. And then I would move Devers to first, and then I would sign Bregman.
Okay.
We just cleared up a lot of questions.
We certainly did. ESPN today ranked the 32 backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
Ooh, this is scintillating stuff. Backup quarterback rankings.
Scintillating stuff because for the Patriots, their backup quarterback's a little more scintillating than the starter. And guess who's number one on this list by Seth Walder and ESPN.com?
Skylar Thompson.
Drake May.
Joe
number
Milton.
One, the number one, but according to this one guy at ESPN, the number one ranked backup quarterback in the NFL, Drake May.
One noted analyst.
Of the Patriots. Seth Walder says, I'm high on first-round rookies because the mean expectation for them in year one is below-average starter with upside. That's a favorable assessment compared to the rest of the list. The expectation particularly high for May, a high-end prospect selected with the third overall pick, threw for 62 touchdown passes and 16 picks, 26 starts in North Carolina. Normally, I not hold winning the job in training camp against him, but he had solid competition in Jacoby Brissett. And
what?
Patriots coach
what?
Gerard Mayo even said May outplayed Brissett this summer. This is more about giving May time to develop and putting him in a position to succeed. Given all that, I'm putting May at number one. What do you think of that, Andy Hart?
Well, I think this is expert analysis that if you're the best backup, it means you should probably be a starter because you're number one on the backup list, and that means you're just inherently better than some of the crappy quarterbacks. Now, are you better than your quarterback? I would answer yes.
Yes.
Because if you did a list of quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, did Seth Walder do that? Is that his name?
No, I don't believe he did.
Because if he did that, backups. Where do you think Jacoby Brissett would finish?
I would say probably down at the bottom.
32nd. Mm. So if you have the number one backup.
Maybe ahead of like Bryce Young and Skylar Thompson, but down
he's
at
not
the
a
bottom.
Starter anymore, so he's
That's
out.
True, he's not anymore.
He's not
but
on the list.
If he did it, he would have had to have done it prior to this, so.
Okay, yeah. But he's not starter anymore. So you potentially have the 32nd best starting quarterback and mm-hmm. the best backup. I think that answers some questions.
I think it certainly does. And speaking of answering questions, it is time for an impromptu pop quiz, Andy Hart.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Whoa. I was not made a...
No, you weren't on purpose. It is time...
Does not say pop quiz anywhere on here.
Pop quiz, an NFL pop quiz with Andy Hart. We're going to take them to school here, boys and girls, with a backup quarterback quiz.
I was set up like a you-know-what.
Sure were. Thank you very much. Pretty simple. I am going to name a backup quarterback, and you, Andy Hart, have to tell me what team he's on, all right?
Shoot.
We'll start with some easy ones. How about Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston is the backup. New Orleans?
Incorrect. That's incorrect. He is backing up Deshaun Watson in Cleveland.
Oh, that's right. I knew that. Dubs going to eat the dubs.
All right, we'll do an easier one. How about Jake Browning? Jake Browning.
That's Cincinnati.
Cincinnati Bengals, that's correct.
Ding,
yes,
ding, 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 ding. 1-1.
These are all on the list, by the way, as we go down the list here of backup quarterbacks. How about Russell Wilson? I think we know this one.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers,
2-1.
Michael Penix.
Atlanta 1.
Falcons, very good. All right. Woo! Let's make this one a little bit harder. How about Sam Howell? Sam Howell, starter for the Washington Commanders last year, is now a backup where?
Seattle.
Seattle's correct. That's correct. Nice 4-1.
Job. 4-1.
Very good. How about Joe Flacco? Where is Joe Flacco playing right now?
He's in the NFL?
He is in the NFL, 100% in the NFL.
Some beach.
And maybe starting pretty soon at some point, which is a bigger hit than you deserve.
Joe Flacco's in the NFL.
He sure is. He was in the NFL last year, too.
Yeah, I know. He was with, what's his name? Comeback Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, you know, you probably peaked, or your second peak.
Do we have a guess?
I'm stalling.
Agreed. I was filibustering. Where's Joe Flacco playing? Give me a team.
Tennessee.
Wrong. Indianapolis Colts. Colts behind Richardson. May see him soon.
So you have, like, the most athletic quarterback with, like, what looks like the biggest stiff.
With the biggest stiff in the league.
It's interesting.
That is exactly what you have. All right, let's go with Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, former Steelers first-round pick, is now the backup on the...
Hey, Twitchers, what you doing out there?
Don't cheat.
How about Texters? The Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
Giants.
Wrong. No, wrong. Thank you.
Sorry.
Wait, I got a ding-ding.
No, that's wrong, though. That was also wrong. Two wrongs.
Ding-ding.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Kenny Pickett is on the Philadelphia Eagles.
I knew that. I saw him in the preseason, you moron.
Yes, you did. All right, here's a layup for you. How about McCorkle Jones?
Oh, the Jags.
Jacksonville Jaguars, correct. How about Davis Mills?
Davis Mills.
Where is he? Houston Texans.
Woo!
Still there. Yes, very good.
Coming on strong. I got a ding-ding.
How about Jeff Driskel? Jeff Driskel. Where is he? Where is Jeff
Driskel?
I feel
like once upon a time he was in Cincinnati, but he no longer is. Now he is in...
We saw him in the preseason.
Oh, so it's either Carolina or Philly or the other team they played in the preseason that I forgot.
It was the other team, the Washington Commanders. There you go.
I was going to guess that.
Well, you've been filibustering too long.
Marcus Mariota's the backup, though. He's the third string. You can be third string quarterbacks now?
I'm seeing Jeff Driskel is the 30th overall. I don't know if Mariota's playing. Is Mariota out, maybe?
Isn't Marcus Mariota the backup in Washington?
I'm looking at this list right now. This is what the list says.
I'm getting screwed.
All right. How about,
I didn't get a ding-ding.
How
Marcus
about,
Mariota, Commanders. Marcus Ardell Tuluaninu Mariota is a professional quarterback for the Washington Commanders.
Okay, but is he the second string or third string?
Second.
I don't know that.
I'll give you a small ding-ding for that.
I got a small ding-ding. Right here, it says Jaden Daniels, Jeff Driskel, and Sam Hartman on our lads, which means Mariota's out, which means that this is accurate, which means shut up and stop bitching, all right?
That's stupid.
Let's get to another one here before we go back to the phones as I pull my list back up.
Put a bullet in this.
How about Hendon Hooker? Where's Hendon Hooker playing?
Hendon Hooker is the Detroit Lions.
That is correct. And finally,
I'm not bad at this game.
You're not bad at the game. No, you're not.
I should be pretty good at it, but
how about Clayton Tune? Where is Clayton Tune playing?
Clayton Tune is with the Las Vegas Raiders.
No, Clayton Tune is with the Arizona Cardinals. I thought that name was made up on the list, but that's actually, he is the 32nd ranked backup quarterback in the NFL, according to, again, Seth Walder of ESPN. Anyway, there you go.
Wow.
That was the backup QB quiz. Here at 4 o'clock.
I did really well. I want a little praise.
I think really well is pushing it, but you were fine.
I did really, really well.
I think you were a little over 500, right?
No, it was like a 4-1 little ding ding to big ding ding ratio or big buzz or whatever the hell the other thing was.
I don't think that's right, but okay. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go ahead and talk to Steele and Bill Ricka. Go ahead, Steele. Steele?
Steele.
Good afternoon. Yep.
Hi,
Steele. You're on.
Yes. Good afternoon.
What's up?
Host one and host two?
Yes. Hi, Steele.
Hello, gentlemen.
I'm about to hang up.
Okay.
Well, he hung up then.
What the hell happened? You're killing callers.
That was taking way too long for him to get
to
the point.
He just had a little of the current problem.
I know he
did. Pauses there.
But then I said, I'm about to hang up on you. He said, all right, he hung up. Well, he needs to get to the point a little faster than that.
Jeez, the poor guy.
The poor guy. Poor us. Poor listeners.
Bully.
Got to listen to all that. Steal callback if you want. I'll put you right on. You just got to get to the point a little faster. Brandon is in Boston. He gets right to the point. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I think this might be Drake May's time to shine. I think, you know, Nick Bosa is going to have his field day because that front line can't block. I think he's going to sack the hell out of Jacoby Brissett. Mm-hmm. And if they're going into halftime and it's like 20-something three, I'm not bringing Brissett back out. I'm getting Drake May ready for halftime. So what do you guys think? You know, if it's really going down south and they have no chance of winning, you know, come halftime, do you send Drake May out there at halftime?
Brandon, that's a good
throwing him out there.
Yeah, no. I understand the question. It's a good question, and we discussed this yesterday. You think if May comes out for the second half, that's it?
He's
a starter.
The starter.
He's
absolutely
a starting quarterback for the team going forward.
Which is kind of fine with me because I want him to be the starter going forward, starting with Miami anyway. So if you feel like you can get something out of it, I do it. But I don't think you come back from that. I don't think you go back to Jacoby Brissett a week later against the Dolphins. And it
unless
is
you have to, unless there's.
I mean, yeah,
sort of
if Drake May gets hurt or whatever. But it is interesting because the 49ers have a good front. Bosa is, I saw Alex Van Pelt called him a generational talent, all of that. Opposing quarterbacks are throwing the ball on them.
Mm-hmm.
I think their combined passer ratings like 103 on the season, more touchdowns than interceptions. Their secondary is not great. So, yeah, if you could theorize, okay, Drake May is a little more athletic. He can run around a little bit. There might be opportunities down the field.
Yep.
So you probably could talk yourself into it. I would say this. Is there like a sweet spot for that? Is it, well, if we're down 20-3, we're putting Drake May in. If we're down 35-3, we're not, because really there's no coming back from, like, is there a weird sweet, and if you're only down 14-3, you're probably
right.
Sticking
is this
with
just like early garbage time?
Yeah.
Or is this, we're down, the offense isn't worried, but we're still in the game.
We're looking for a spark, and
we
think
need something we could still maybe win.
Is
I
there
think
like
that's
a
good
weird,
question, yeah.
I feel like there's a
I think either way you should go with me.
I know
honestly.
You honestly want
no,
to.
No, I mean, at halftime.
We all want.
I'm talking about
no
at
matter
halftime.
What.
Whether it's a blowout or it's like close
okay.
And the offense isn't going,
okay.
I go with May either way.
Okay.
I'd also start him too, but like that's
but do you agree with my assertion that if you make the switch at halftime, I think you've made the switch?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
And I have no problem.
That's what that would signal to me. Yeah.
I have no problem with that, and I don't know if Jerod Mayo is ready to do that, if that's a way he could finagle it. For all I know, if he wants to, if the theory that everybody has that it's Van Pelt and Wolf against Mayo, couldn't he just like kind of subvert them and just slap them on the ass and say, get out there, and before he knows, Alex Van Pelt's like, wait a minute, why is Jacoby over here next to me?
Wah, wah, wah.
Who's in the, and somewhere Elliot Wolf is screaming in a press box or like, what the hell's going on out there? No, this one, damn it. I mean, isn't that a way you could kind of do it? I'm not sure it'd be good
happening.
For the future of the organization and silos.
It would create some turmoil, I think. Yes, it would. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with your phone calls, and we'll get back into the Red Sox, who were eliminated from postseason contention just last night. That's all coming up next.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending right now on WEI and WEI.com. The Red Sox now officially eliminated from playoff contention after they lost to the Blue Jays 6-1 last night in Toronto. The Red Sox have the day off today. They will close out their season with a three-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. That starts tomorrow night. First pitch from Fenway Park at 7 p.m. across the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Our coverage will begin at 6 p.m. with the MassMutual pregame show. The Bruins preseason continues tonight. The Bees in New York taking on the Rangers. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from Madison Square Garden, the second best garden. The Patriots back on the practice field today. They're getting ready for their Week 3 tilt on the road against the San Francisco 49ers. Mike Onwenu and Jabril Peppers, both full participants in practice. And Week 4 in the NFL kicks off tonight. The Cowboys are in New York taking on the Giants. Kickoff at 8:15 for that game. Don't forget, you can hear that game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage begins at 7:30. Or you can download the Odyssey app and you can listen to us wherever you go. Trending brought to you by Verizon Wireless. Right now at Verizon, new and existing customers can get the amazing iPhone 15. Enjoy tons of storage for all the ballpark picks. This summer, there's a deal out there for everyone at Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store and get your new iPhone 15 today. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show coming up.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today. As we jungle boogie through the 4 o'clock hour, Alex Cora was with us yesterday, said that this is the last time that the Red Sox are going to struggle like this. This is it. And Andy Hart ate it up like you wouldn't believe. He ate it up like a number three meal at McDonald's. Like this was, you took that thing and you wolfed it down because you believe this more than anybody. I don't know. Red Sox fan, die hard. Pink hat wearing Red Sox fans are more skeptical of what this team's going to do in the offseason than you are.
So Boston commenter along those lines on the Twitch chat says, Hart, you should be destroying John Henry today. Speak
yeah, Hart.
Up for the common man.
Yeah, Hart.
Why should I be destroying John Henry? Because I think we're on the cusp of an offseason that's going to change the trajectory of this franchise forever and could win World Series rings because they're about to go out and spend and acquire to supplement a very impressive young team. And I bought what the coach who just, manager. Probably doesn't like coach either.
Probably doesn't like that.
The manager.
He doesn't like Skipper. He doesn't like coach.
Who just signed a 3-year, $21 million deal. Like, I bought what he's selling, which the beginning of the year, I thought he was leaving. I thought he hated this place and didn't want to come back here. And now he wants to come back here. Why does he want to come back here? Because he's excited about the baseball
team.
Yeah,
that's it.
You can stick your $21 million reasons
sure.
up your bunghole.
Okay.
That he is excited. I think it's genuine.
Right, you're buying what they're selling. We get that.
They're not selling.
Yes,
they're not
they
selling.
Are.
They don't have to sell me.
They are selling
I watched
you on this.
It. I watched Duran. I watched Hauk.
Right.
I watched Rafaela. I've heard of Roman Anthony.
Yeah, those guys were all fine. And they're going to finish in third place, way out of the wild card. And it's going to be another season where they miss the playoffs. You're buying that they're going to actually invest
yes,
this next year.
Yes, 100%.
That's what you're buying
100%.
Into, and that's what I think you're being naive
100%.
About.
So
this past season, fine. You think it was better than it was. That we can debate that. What's coming up right now is where I think you're being naive.
Or, they're flat out lying to me.
Yes, like they did this past year.
Craig Breslow was on the morning show, and he said they're... I mean, he said
Tom
it in a
Warner
weird
said
way.
They're going full throttle. I mean, they'd lie. This
Forget
is what they
that.
Do.
The
Forget
GM,
it why. It's important.
The GM... Director of Baseball Operations, President of Baseball, whatever the hell he is.
Yeah, not the guy
said,
writing the checks.
It's my
the
job.
Guy who writes the checks.
It's my job to go out there and make it happen with my staff.
Right.
That's what he said. This isn't on anything else. The word salad, he said yes. Is ownership investing? A lot of words said yes. Words, 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 words.
A lot of words says, I don't have any
yes.
question that they will maybe not be getting in the way of
you're,
doing what we want to do.
Now
blah,
you're
blah, blah,
being
blah.
Dramatic.
I'm not being dramatic. That's
you
what he said.
You overly
it
dramatized
It was a long
that.
Word salad.
He said, I don't have any doubt that they are willing to probably do whatever.
That's exactly
like that.
What I just said. That's what I just said. Now you're being dramatic.
So I bought it. And part of it, you're right. Part of it is visual and factual. And I saw it this year. 100%. And another portion of it is projecting, is what do they always say? Faith is believing in something you can't see.
Right, yes.
I have faith.
You're
yeah.
giving it up to the higher power.
Guilty as charged, the higher
Henry.
Power. Nope.
Yes.
Cora and Breslow. I think they've gotten
they
the green light.
They don't cut the checks, Andy.
No, I don't think Cora would be here smiling, happy, and swaggy if he didn't believe they were going to be really good. I don't think he wants to write checks that his team won't be able to cover for next year. I think he firmly believes this. He believes they are going to add good veteran talent to a great young roster.
I'm glad he believes that.
And I think the
I
only
don't,
reason...
I don't believe that.
Do you So you just think he was million-dollar manned. He had a price, and they met it, and they bought his happiness.
Absolutely.
Because he was a miserable SOB last February.
He told us that he wasn't even going to talk about
right.
this sort of thing. And then what, all of a sudden?
You know why? Because he had no faith in the organization. He was like you. He had no faith. It wasn't about money. It was about faith and partnership with Breslow. And he has faith
it
in
wasn't
the relationship.
About, it wasn't about money?
It was not about the money, Dale.
Okay.
It's not about the money.
Okay, move on.
This was about appreciation and respect and relationships. And he believes in Breslow.
Are you listening to yourself?
I am, because I believe it.
Come
I'm like
on.
A politician who actually believes his own crap.
I don't think you even believe this. I think you're just saying
no,
it.
I do. No, I swear to God.
I think you're saying it to be different because everyone thinks the other thing.
I will never do that. I promise you I will never. I'm going to make a vow to our listeners, our Twitchers, our texters. I will never do contrarian.
Okay.
I don't do contrarian. There's enough contrarian radio in this time slot. No, there's enough damn contrarian radio in this time slot. I'm going to do genuine radio. So when I genuinely think a team stinks, I'm going to tell you they're going to go 0-17 and then they're going to win their first game.
Okay.
And that's how that will work. And when I genuinely think that you should be excited about the Boston Red Sox, more excited about the Boston Red Sox than you've been since 2021 when they were on that Kike Hernandez-fueled run.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time you
that was exciting.
Really were excited, right?
Yep.
They've had little blips of...
That was the only time I've been excited about the team since 2018.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is as excited as you should be probably before 2021 because I think that was a weird... I still don't know.
It was weird. They backed into the playoffs a little bit that
year. I don't explain that.
It was sort of a weird
finish.
Yeah, I remember that.
I feel like they have every reason to be a good baseball team moving forward, and Alex Cora feels that. He's expressing that. And the talent, what I see, the voice, what I hear, and then the projection of what I think they're going to do. I think they're going big. I made a bet with you. I put my money where my mouth was. They are going to have a significant trade and a significant signing. So, yeah, this is not fake. This is me caring about baseball more than ever. Baseball is not boring in Boston anymore. And it's...
Bradford got you.
No! Well, I do have a t-shirt. It's a very nice day.
Sounds like it.
Those fit well. They make you look jacked.
Do you, like, torch you with wasabi or something?
Yeah, a little wasabi, whatever. I'm a Bradpo guy.
Tied you up, but, like, made you snort wasabi like Steve-O and Jackass.
I didn't get a call from John Henry's fixer threatening to put me in, like, my trunk or something.
I mean, it sounds like you got some, maybe not a call from the fixer. Maybe, like, what they give away. Remember when they were giving away Roombas at the end of the year, like, 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
They wanted people to come to the park at the end when they were eliminated, so they started giving out, like, L.L. Bean tote bags and Roombas and stuff to everybody.
Well,
did you get a Roomba?
I didn't get a Roomba.
Did you get an L.L. Bean tote bag?
I didn't get a tote bag, and I didn't.
Did you get a Roomba in a tote bag?
I did not. I would take cash in a tote bag.
I would also take that, yes.
But wasn't there also the year where the players were pissed off, so they give them headphones on the yacht or something?
I remember that, yeah. Like, I forget what year
that was. Hey, don't worry about it. Here's some headphones kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to do that anymore.
I think John Henry did that.
Yeah.
John Henry with the headphones.
I think there is genuine excitement.
Beats by Dre!
And is that what it was?
Probably. I don't know.
The Don Jeezy, I'm with Hart. Thank you. Somebody's listening to me.
What, your burner account?
Why is there so much? I don't even have my regular account. I'm signed in as Curtis.
By the way,
I talk to people as Curtis.
You got to sign out of your Twitch account, man.
I just answer all these people under Curtis's name.
Oh, yeah. A lot of hate mail, I'd imagine.
But don't you, and there is a little bit of me that absolutely wants to buy in because I'm sick of not having anything to buy into.
I'd like to believe that this team will do that, but they have not given me any indication aside from Breslow making vague comments and Cora making very strong comments. I'll give you that at least.
I like it.
He was right out front talking about that and how it's going to be different going forward and everything. It's not that I don't trust them. Although Cora did hurt my trust a little bit with that whole not going to negotiate during the season thing that he said on our airwaves, and then he went and signed the
extension. So you guys are even. You called him Skip. He lied to you.
Yep.
Okay, let's bury it.
Fine.
Move on.
Moving on. I trust Alex Cora. I have a ton of reasons to trust Craig Breslow, but I don't have a ton of reasons not to. I have a million reasons not to trust John Henry and Tom Werner.
Agreed.
And you do too.
I have a million reasons not to trust him, but my filters, my in-betweens, the fact that they are trusting, I don't want to say the process, but the idea of this offseason, and I believe them. You're right, sucker, Andy, somebody on the text line, either you're playing the other side or you're gullible. Okay, so I'm gullible. Great. Sorry. Everybody's gullible sometimes in their lives. You buy into things. You believe in things. People believe I'm gullible about Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
I have no reason to know he's going to be a stud NFL quarterback. But yes, I'm choosing to think he can be good, that he can be a franchise quarterback. I'm gullible in that area, too. But I also would say
I'm gullible about there was a fake RV giveaway on Facebook, and I, like, signed up for it. They were like, we're giving away this RV. And I was like, oh, awesome. And it's free and great. And I signed in. I gave him my social security number,
Jesus.
My bank account number. I basically gave him my entire identity. And then they're like, this was a very well-known scam where they try and give away RVs on Facebook. I was like, damn it.
You idiot.
And then I had to change my name and, get a new bank account. They stole all $50 I had, which
you
was really upsetting.
Name? You're not actually Christian Arcand?
No, I was. I was something else before that. I had to change
a new
to Christian
name.
Arcand.
Post one.
Yeah, no, it's just host one. Anyway, 617-77, that's a true story. I didn't give him my social security number, but I did fall for a scam on Facebook about a free RV giveaway, and I jumped right. I'm usually pretty good about that stuff. No guards up whatsoever. I wanted that RV, and I didn't even think about the consequences. I don't
even know were you going to do with an RV?
Drive around. That's what you do in an
Where?
RV. You drive all around, and then you can just go to sleep right there in the RV. Doesn't
yeah,
that
I know
sound
how
great?
They work.
That's what I love.
You're not retired yet.
No, I'm not. But I can
Are
get
you
a,
close to retirement?
Grab a Comrex, you know.
Oh, so now you're doing your show from the
I'm
RV?
I'm doing the show in the RV.
You have high-speed internet?
What
are you
Starlink? Yeah, I go to the one of the trailer parks or whatever, plug into their modem, and I just do the show.
Trailer parks make it sound low. I think you want to be like...
Maybe to you.
Glamping.
It would be glamping.
High-end glamping.
Be a lot of glamping there, I think. RV park, how about that?
But I think you're about 25 to 30 years too early.
Probably. I have a thing about RVs. I like RVs. I go to the RV show at the Expo Center.
Really?
Yeah, I go to that thing. They have RVs that have like two floors.
No, I know.
There's like an upstairs.
Yeah, they're also
in the RV.
Really expensive.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you have to win it on Facebook.
That's why I wanted the free one, exactly. And sometimes I look and see if anyone's selling one on Craigslist, which I think is probably just a scam to get you robbed and beat up or worse. But I still like keep my eye out on that, too.
There's
and
a little
I have no
one
place
by me.
To even put one.
There's a little one for sale by me that looks nice.
Oh, yeah?
It looks like a Madden cruiser type, but it's like shrunk down a little. It's probably like a. 2/3 of the size of
Winnebago?
Yeah, something like that. It looks beautiful. Hmm. But I don't think you're giving it away because it's been for sale. There's been a sign on it for quite some time.
Well, if they've been trying to sell it, maybe they'll drop their price. We'll talk.
You got cash?
No. 617-779-7937.
Your host won.
Let's go to Len in Salem. Go ahead, Len.
Hello.
Hi, Len.
Oh, hi. I'm not in Salem. I'm in Stowe.
Hi, Len.
That's okay.
It says Salem.
Don't ever give out any information to anybody. You know, I get these scams all the time on Facebook. You know, have you heard of this government program for $100,000 or whatever? You know, and it's usually some young 20-something babe that's trying to sell it to me, too.
Oh, well, yeah. So, you gotta head on a swivel, then. You gotta be vigilant out there.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
With the Red Sox and John Henry, you know, maybe these last three games will mean something, not because of what goes on the ball field. Who cares? But maybe in terms of the fans, like if people get fed up and they decide not to go to these games, or if they come in and their mood is, you know, not very enthusiastic, maybe John Henry will get a moment there and decide that, you know, if he doesn't do something to invest in this team, he's not going to be able to rest on his laurels anymore and just, you know, make easy money anymore.
Len, you may be onto something there. I think that One small hole in that logic is that now Fenway has become this destination for opposing fans. And
yep.
I think that's been sort of thrown a wrench into the idea that, hey, if you're not happy with the product, don't show up. And that's really going to send a message to ownership. That hasn't really, I don't think. I mean, their overall attendance is down the last couple of years. I heard it's down to like 33,000 average is out of 37 or whatever it is the max capacity. So it's down. They're not selling out the place every night. And, you know, that's something that I think may pop up as a potential issue with, you know, with the margins of the team. But it's not something that's going to be like devastating enough that John Henry's going to call an emergency meeting with Theo and Tom Werner and be like, guys, no one's coming to the games anymore. People still go to the games. They still get pretty good attendance numbers, not great, but not enough, I think, to make them suddenly want to switch up like that. I don't think it's come to that yet. What they want to do and what they've been very obviously sort of projecting out here and signaling to everybody is that they want to be like the Rays. They want to be like the Orioles. They want to be able to lean on their young talent and have that carry the day and then, you know, pick and choose various places to spend extra money and go to arbitration with all these guys and wait until the last possible minute to have to pay them anything. That's what they're looking to do. And that's why things like the Mookie Betts situation happen. And like, that's another part of it too. These guys are all 19, 20 something years old. By the time they get into the majors and they're really contributing, we're talking about 2 or 3 years down the line. By the time they're 25, 26, arbitration years are gone and you have to actually pay them something. I don't trust assuming that the same owners are owning the team. I don't trust that they'll do the right thing there. They didn't do it with Mookie and they didn't do it with Bogarts and plenty of other players over the years. And I just sort of think it's like, you know, you talk about this is going to change the trajectory of the team for, you know, forever. And
yep.
It's like, maybe for a couple of years,
yeah,
it will.
Couple years.
But then in a couple of years, they'll probably just let these guys go like they did Mookie and everybody else.
So we can bitch about that then if we're still on the air. Like, I mean,
it's just, I don't get as excited about that, knowing that Mookie and that group only won one.
You don't get excited that next year they could win the division.
Like, I mean, that'd be nice if they won the division, sure.
Have I shared the Andy Hart rule of sports with you? It's entertainment.
Of course, entertainment. It's entertainment.
If I got to watch 162 stupid games, entertain me.
I don't think they're one good offseason away from winning that division, if that's what you're asking.
Oh, I think
they're still pretty far away.
Alex Cora thinks they are.
Maybe he does, but what is he going to say? You got Baltimore and New York, and they're both much better than
you. New York sucked this year? They had that long stretch.
Yeah, they
sucked.
They're still well ahead of you the entire time.
You weren't a great baseball team. You're going to be a much better baseball team next year.
Also, when they were good, they were much better.
I share your concerns down the road, but those aren't present concerns. Those are future concerns. Those are high price,
high
class.
I just sort of threw that in there as an additional reason. But
forget that.
Okay, fine, whatever. I'm just saying.
Let's think of the here and now.
In the here and now, I still think that they're a little ways away unless they really get a good, strong investment, which I'm dubious that this organization's willing to do. I don't think they're one offseason where they call up a bunch of prospects and 19 and 20-year-olds away from winning that division. I think pipe dream.
Yeah, no. I will be very upset if that's what their plan is. If their plan is just to promote the big four, the core four, whatever the hell the four are. No. That is a signing and a trade. Tentpole type veteran, supplemental talent, whatever that damn quote was in the Alex Spear story a couple weeks ago that Breslow was like, yeah, this is when you can be aggressive to add to your team when you have the young farm system, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, hypothetically, this is when you could do that, right?
No. This is when they are going to do that.
In theory, you could do that, right.
Okay, so is he being understated?
Breslow?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. But you don't want him to be over. You don't want him to say burn cash, full throttle, fireworks. You don't want any of the things
we've
criticized.
I don't want him to lie. I don't want him to BS me. I don't want him to give me a bunch of BS. How do you know he's not?
He told you that they're investing in the team.
No, he didn't necessarily.
He did, kind of.
He said that this is the time when you would invest in a team. Those were the exact words.
They're going to.
Fine.
Just
Warner told me full throttle last year. And they didn't do anything.
Exactly. So maybe they've learned from saying stupid things.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe they're just liars and they lie every year and they lied to Craig Breslow. Maybe it's that. I mean, come on.
They're just liars who lie.
What? Which one of these seems more likely? All of a sudden they decide, oh, yeah, let's finally spend on this team after 3 years of complete neglect, or that they're just liars and they like
to
lie.
Breslow is a different beast.
I'm not talking about Breslow. Who told Breslow that?
So why does Breslow believe they're going to invest and Cora believe?
Because he's only been lied to him for 1 year.
What about Cora?
What
they
about
bought
Cora?
Him with $21 million. Hey, we're going to pay you, and you go out there and pretend you think we're going to be good.
If they paid me $21 million, I'd say whatever the company wanted. You wouldn't? Oh, you wouldn't now, Mr. Integrity? Come on.
I am objective to a fault. I will say the truth. $21 million, even if it costs me a job.
I will be as unobjective as you want.
Tell you the truth. Just don't ask it in the Twitch chat.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We'll get to your phone calls next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Let's go on up the country to Maine and talk to our good friend Bill, who has a thought on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Bill.
I think I know why John Henry is doing what he's doing. And, you know, he's owned the team for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
His cost is really low. The value of the franchise right now is very high. He's earning cash flow from the seats and from the television deals and stuff like that.
Right.
So his yield on his cost, like the amount of cash flow that he's making on what he paid for that team, is off the charts. In other words, he does not care about bringing another championship to the city at this point. All he cares about is that the money he put into this team is generating huge amounts of money. That's all I got, guys, but thank you.
Thank you, Bill, and I think that's sort of been, I don't know if that's been validated by the fact that he's expanded this portfolio of Fenway Sports Group to include race car driving and hockey and all this other stuff. I don't know that validates what he said there, but it does sort of show that he is doing very well, and the group's doing very well, and they've been able to do these other ventures, and it seems like they want to do even more. There's still a rumored potential buyer of the Boston Celtics. Like, they're not trying to get any small. They're not selling any teams, right? Their portfolio is going to grow. It's not going to shrink, probably ever. And that's because, yeah, like the caller said, I mean, these are money-making ventures. These are the types of things that end up really appreciating over the years. And over the last 23 years, the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Celtics, I mean, all these things, they've all exploded and become multi-billion-dollar companies that were not purchased for that much. So, yeah, all that's true. And I think that that's certainly the fire and desire to be the first team to break the curse and the first ownership group to do all that back in 2001 when he bought the team. That's all way out the window, but that's been true for, you know, that's been true for 20 years. So, right. I mean, that now, you know, they've won championships since then. I don't think that that's necessarily something that goes out of style, like, oh, you're winning too much. No one's going to say that, but you can lose too much. And this is three straight years of missing the playoffs.
So if that's, and that is the accepted perception or rationale behind John Henry, right? Most people, I would say a majority of people think like you. I mean, hell, I had my poll at 87% thought this was another cheapo season, right? So why would he buy the Celtics?
Because it's another team that will appreciate and make him more money and all that, yeah.
I feel like their value is very high right now. Now, I think in general, sports teams continue to appreciate.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're at a pretty high spot. Now, I know there's theories about you end up getting your own arena and doing, you know, splitting off from the Garden and doing things of that nature.
Well, if it's the Red Sox doing it, right now they have the smallest park in the, well, that or Wrigley, but they have a very small park compared to the Dodgers and these other teams that can make much more money just off the gate. So I don't think they're going to want to go and pay rent to the Jacobs. They, if it's Fenway Sports Group, I think you can pretty much guarantee that they're going to build their own arena.
Right, but they just came off a championship.
Right.
They have a ridiculous amount of money invested in the roster. Right. If anything, John Henry's probably looking at Wick Grosbeck and his father, Irv, and saying, see, that's why I don't do that. That makes no sense. You won, and look what it cost you, your team. Right. You're selling. So
you're losing money.
Why would he want to get... It's almost like he would want to wait until they tear it down. Or is he going to be the teardown guy like he did in Miami? I just don't know... He's already I guess if you're already hated by a fan base in Boston, do you care if you're the guy who tears down the Celtics? Oh, we're going to have to cut costs, so Tatum's going to go, or Brown's going to go, or whoever's going to go.
If they buy the team, it is not going to look... The contracts are not going to look like that.
Right.
They're going to start peeling off layers probably right away.
And so the team will probably get worse.
Definitely.
And you don't have Fenway Park, so you're not guaranteed attendance, right? Like, that's a little different.
Right.
I do think Fenway Park is somewhat unique in that. Wrigley Field, there's a handful of them, but that does not transfer to the new arena you build for the Celtics. In fact, you have to spend, what, $1 billion to build a new arena?
Yeah, so, at least, yeah.
So now you're in it for $6 billion, you bought the team, another $1 billion for the arena, and you just got rid of their best players? That sounds like a recipe for fun.
Sure, it might not be fun, but I think that...
Is it going to make money?
Yes.
You sure about that?
I will. Okay. It'll absolutely make... Maybe not right away, you're not going to get big return.
You just invested $7 billion?
Yeah. Like, I think within, I don't know, 10 years, another decade goes by, that'll appreciate, absolutely.
Fans will not appreciate it if it's run this way.
No, but it's still going to be the Boston Celtics, and there's still going to be people who fill whatever new arena they have, and it's still going to make money.
You sure about that?
Yes,
they'll fill the arena no matter what?
Yes, if they're good.
No.
I mean, if the team completely nosedives, then maybe not.
One of their two best players, let's say, right off the bat.
Well, you think they're still going to win championships if they do that, so, you know. No big deal.
I don't know about that. I meant overcome like an injury, or I don't know if you sell off the parts, how that works exactly.
Maybe not. But that's a message to the team. Let's say they just keep Brown and Tatum, and they rearrange everything else, right? But they keep Brown and Tatum.
And they're a 40-win team?
I don't think they'd be a 40-win team with those two and, you know, whatever else you have around them. But I do think that those two together, especially if they... Because this isn't even going to happen until 2028, right? That's what Wick said. He's like, yeah, you know, we'll start the process now, but I'm going to still be the owner. We're still going to have controlling interest in it, and the deal won't get done for like 3 more years. So in those 3 years, you don't know who's going to stay. Porzingis is probably gone. Holiday's probably going to retire. Like, you know, like all these
Horford's
things may
gone,
happen. Horford's gone. Brown and Tatum are signed for big money for longer than that, so you know they'll still be around, and you just have to fill in around that. Like, that's... When you look at it that way, it's not really that daunting, you know? Like, well, we're not going to be the bad guys, because by then, by 2028 or whatever, all these taxes are already going to have been paid. Maybe we'll have to pay them in the, you know, back taxes or whatever, but we're not going to look like the bad guys ripping the team apart. That will have naturally happened in 3 years.
But you're still on the backside of a certain style of ownership and success. And then, by comparison, you probably won't live up to that.
Probably not, but you know what? They sold. So, you know, like, that's what you're supposed to do.
No, I'm just saying,
everybody loves that ownership group until they sold the team, and then it's not that ownership group anymore. And I think that that also goes to show, in a way, that you just can't, it's not realistic to expect that anymore. The days of, like, Steinbrenner spending out of control and just doing whatever it took to win because he was a winner and he cared about winning, and screw the bottom line.
About the Dodgers?
Those days are mostly gone. I think even the Dodgers, as much as they're spending spending still care about their bottom line to an extent, and they pick and choose when they go all in. The Padres, too. Padres had to take out loans to pay for the rest of that roster. They'd never done anything like that before. I think the teams are picking and choosing, but you can't just do that all the time. You know, you can't just do whatever you can. You can't George Steinbrenner it and just throw money at any little problem that you have forever and just think that that's going to work. It's a new day. It's a new day in sports, and these owners don't think that way anymore.
You're probably right. I mean, Steve Cohen did that with the Mets. Like, they went all in, and then they decided they weren't really all in anymore, right, and started to sort of tear it down. I don't know that that time is dead, and I sometimes wonder about the finances. Like, I feel like they cry poor, or they cry, oh, it's a tough business and this. I don't know.
Henry at the winter weekend 2 years ago was like, yeah, baseball players are expensive. Yeah. And it was like, shut up, man. Like, just come on.
So why do the richest, most powerful people in the world line up to buy sports franchises? There's like a small group.
No one else can afford it.
No, I know. But you'd right. think those are businessmen that are like, that's dumb. I'm not going to do that. There's so many other better ways to spend my money, spend my time. And yet it seems like the small group of people that are really rich see sports as a really good place to be. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not as bad as they make it out to be finding, oh, so tough in this day and age. Is it? Is it really tough in this day and age? Because why y'all want to be in it?
Yeah. I mean, it is business-wise. It does, even if you don't invest, as the Red Sox and their ownership group have learned here over the last 5 years, even if you don't invest a ton of money, you'll still get people out there. You still make gate. You'll still do all these things. Your brand will still appreciate. That's part of it. That's why so many minority owners. Why do you think every one of these ownership groups has like 100,000 minority owners?
Right.
Who are all in there for, you know, 20 bucks or whatever. It's more than that. But like,
I would,
you know,
I'll buy in for 20.
I'll buy in for
looking.
20 at the Celtics.
I'll take a share of the Celtics.
I got 100 bucks on the Celtics. I'll crank it up a little bit. $100.
I will put in 10 grand.
Whoa.
I would put in 10 grand.
Whoa.
What do I get for that? Like one ticket a year or something?
No,
you get like a sausage at the Garden.
Yeah, you get like a suite for like one game.
Oh, I would do that.
That's basically it.
If I pay 10 grand to be a real super minority owner and I get one suite for one game, the smallest suite there is or whatever, I would absolutely do that.
You pay $10,000 for one night at a suite?
No, I get a piece of the team.
Yeah, I know, but...
No, I want that on the books, too, so that I could actually sell that. It's an asset.
Yeah, I suppose.
You made it sound like an indecent proposal. You'd pay $10,000 for one night in a suite.
You and Irv Grossbeck right. in a suite for $10,000.
I'll go higher than that. I'll go $20,000 if you give me one night in a suite and a little chunk of the team.
All right. That's easy to buy. As we've learned, it's easy to buy Andy Hart. Sometimes it just takes,
I haven't been bought
it just
yet.
Takes empty promises. But it can also be bought. There's a price tag, too,
you can't call them
well.
Empty promises yet.
Yes, I can.
They have not been paid off or not paid off.
I believe that they will be empty
but
promises.
But I believe they will be fulfilled promises.
Okay, so we disagree. But I
believe
think
that
they're
they will
be empty.
Win. I believe that they will sign. I believe that they will trade.
Okay. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we return, we will get back into our Patriots conversation. Tommy Curran had some interesting things to say. We'll get to that as well, along with what this team's biggest problem is. That's all coming up next.